This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Right now, let's bring in our good friend and the sports director over at WLNS Channel 6, Fred Heumann. And Fred has some special things to talk about, but we know how much Fred loves baseball, so we're also going to join in with Fred and start talking with him about baseball at first. But Fred, I know you've got some other things on your mind that you've got coming up, so tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks, sir. I know most people love March, and I do too, because it means April's right around the corner.
Yep.
But it's March Madness, and I thank for the opportunity. We have our March to Glory special on tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock here on TV6. Live. We do this every tournament run, so I always say Izzo's going to ruin my March again, and don't think I don't tell him that. But our first show is tonight, March to Glory, 7 to 8, live. Lots of features, interviews, behind-the-scenes stuff. And, you know, I'm the front guy, but there's so many people. There's been people working around the clock on this for a week, particularly the last couple of days. And we put a lot of effort into it, and we know there's a lot of passion for the tournament and for the Spartans. And I know people, their clocks, they aren't thinking like 7 o'clock, oh, yeah, the show's on. So I appreciate the opportunity to remind folks who might be listening, 7 o'clock tonight on TV6, we think of what we do. This is the best stuff we do. We'd like people to have a chance to see it. 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight, March to Glory here on Channel 6.
And Fred, this is something that has grown. And not only has the men's basketball program has grown over the years, the program, the coverage has gone. I mean, we've seen how Coach Izzo has geared up for March here over the years, and now you've been gearing up in your programming. It's just like everything, like you say, March is special to all of us around here. But this is really special with this team, and this is especially good because it's such a young team, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, as you know, Earl, there are cynics out there that think coaches in general and Tom Izzo in particular make too much money. Let me just say one thing. Izzo makes a ton of cash, okay? Mm-hmm. He can buy me and you.
Yep.
And for what publicity he brings this university and the brand he gives it and the people that go to school here, never mind play basketball, go to school here just because Tom Izzo's the coach here and the identity he's given them, he has earned every penny he's ever made. I'm not an Izzo apologist. I'm not an Izzo butt kisser. I'm just saying, whenever I hear people say, well, he makes too much money or coaches make, this man has earned every penny he's ever made for the attention he brings to this school and the people not only locally but nationally that realize that Izzo and Michigan State is a brand in basketball. And it is a wild, exciting time of the year. And Judd Heathcote was a great coach and won a championship, but Izzo has surpassed anything he's done. He's given this school a brand just like being an ag school has, frankly. They are now a basketball school because of Tom Izzo.
Yes, and one thing we know being in this business that we're in, you couldn't pay for all the publicity that Michigan State's been getting over the years.
He's a walking advertisement for the school, and as I said, right or wrong, there are people I'm sure go to school here just because Tom Izzo's the coach. And by the way, all those people pay tuition.
Yes. And I said many, many years ago, every time Michigan State gets to the Final Four, it goes up the number of people applying to get into the school.
Right.
And that's
absolutely
been consistent over the years.
Right. Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Yeah, well, Fred, let's talk a little baseball, the other love of your life. I know you're a big Tigers fan, so what do you think about the Tigers? I'm still a little nervous about them. I know second base hasn't been settled yet. Not sure with Inge and with Delman Young, but I still think they're going to be good, but I'm a little nervous at this point.
The love of my life, you know, I am married, Earl.
Oh, yeah, well, your wife is your first love.
Well, I don't know. I told her the other day, because every year at this time, she says, you know, honey, I think you love baseball more than me. And I says, yeah, but I love you way more than ping pong and volleyball. But yeah, I don't know. The Tigers, they're solid. I mean, adding Prince Fielder, they were going to be solid anyway.
Yes.
And then you add Fielder to the mix. I think people are going a little too crazy on Fielder. I mean, they've sold like five times as many tickets. He's a great addition, but don't forget that the reason they got him is because Victor Martinez is out for the year. And if Fielder, I'm going to say right now, if he produces the year Victor Martinez had last year, he's going to have a great year. He can't do a whole lot more than V-Mart did last year. How many clutch two-out hits did that guy have? So Fielder's a great addition, but he's a replacement for something you lost. Now, next year, that lineup is scary if everyone's healthy.
Yes, everyone healthy, and if he can find places to put everybody in.
They'll work that out. That's a nice problem to have, but they'll work that out, believe me.
Oh, that's for sure. But
sound a little like.
Yeah, I'm a little leery because, you know, they still need a fifth starter, of course, and maybe it'll come from within. They might have to trade. I don't think, you know, we're settled on what they're going to do with that other starting pitching.
But Earl, if you take an hour between your basketball games this weekend and scan every roster in Major League Baseball, now you say the Tigers need a fifth starter. Most of those other teams are looking for a third starter, okay?
Yeah.
They got four.
Uh-huh.
And the fifth starter is not a big problem because most people only have two. Some have three, and very few have four. So I actually think that's one of the things that makes them so strong is they got four starters. And that fifth guy, well, whatever. I mean, if the fifth starter spot gives them the conglomerate of the fifth starter gives them 12 wins and 16 losses. That's success for a number five starter. I can live with that. That's close to 500.
Yeah, because this team, it really looks like, I guess I'm a little nervous because everyone says the Tigers are going to win their division and just head to the World Series.
Right.
That could happen. I mean, there's no doubt it could happen, but, you know, sometimes it does. We remember back to 2008. We thought it was going to happen then, but, you know, they finished last. So
do you remember when the Yankees signed A-Rod and people said baseball isn't even fair anymore because nobody can beat the Yankees? They didn't even make the playoffs.
Yep.
They didn't win the World Series. You remember a year ago when the Phillies got Halliday and all that pitching, they said they may win 130 games.
Yep.
They got bounced out. They weren't even in the World Series. So you're right. Signing baseball, when you're together for 7 months a year and you're together every day, chemistry is more important in baseball than anywhere else because you are together all the time. And if you don't have a team that gets along and clicks and has clubhouse chemistry, you're dead. So if Fielder and Cabrera, well, I'm not there, I don't know this, we don't know what happens behind the scenes, if they don't get along, if they don't click, if they don't have a good clubhouse mix, then they may not win. So you're right, just signing players doesn't guarantee you anything. But on paper, they're pretty strong.
Yes, they are. But the other thing we do have to watch for, can Cabrera make the conversion and become a third baseman again? It's been a long time since he's played it, you know. So we're going to have to wait and see, I guess. Can Cabrera really be an everyday third baseman?
Well, I think people are a little more worried about that than they should be. He's a pretty good athlete. And if you remember, you know, he tried third, didn't work well. They had the luxury of switching him to first, and he was a butcher there for a while. But he's become a really good first baseman. Not a gold glover, but he does not hurt them over at first base. Now, I realize third requires a little more agility than first, so he won't make the Brandon Inge plays. I'm not going to be cutting highlights at 11 o'clock of Miguel Cabrera making the diving plays going into the stands like Brandon Inge. But I don't think he's going to be the butcher that everyone thinks. He's got good hands. He's quick. He may not be fast, but he's quick. And he's an athlete. He'll do better there than you think. Mark my words.
Yes, I guess the other thing that has me a little worried, Fred, is, you know, that he won't. Cabrera has said, and also our first baseman candidate said neither one wants to be a DH. Now, that could be a problem, you know, because you got to take days off, and I know he's going to have to figure out a way to do that. But Motha said they don't want to be a DH, and neither has played much DH these last, three or four years.
Well, no Nobody really wants DH, to be honest with you. And that's part of the thing with Fielder and Cabrera that I keep saying. They always say, well, some of them, listen, these guys aren't 36-year-old. These aren't Victor Martinez guys, okay? These are guys that are in the prime of their career at the ultimate money-making stage of their life. They don't want to be the DH, and they're not going to be the DH. That doesn't mean they won't DH for a few days or here and there, or if they got a strain in their hammy or something that they might DH for a week or so. But these two guys, you're not going to DH primetime players like this. DH is for aging guys, guys that are at the tail end of their career and still have some thunder in their bat. You're not going to DH full-time Cabrera or Fielder anytime in the next couple of years. Ain't going to happen.
Okay, well, the Tigers are certainly in a good position going into this year, so we'll just watch and see how they do early on in the season.
Hey, and they're on TV right now on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've got that. I know you're watching it.
I'm dialed in, and between the editing pieces for this show tonight, March for Glory, I'm watching the Tigers.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that program, about the Michigan State's first couple of games. What do you expect? I mean, they got LIU. Then we're assuming if they get past LIU, and then in the next round, it'll probably be Memphis. Now, That game scares me a little bit if it's a Michigan State Memphis matchup in round two.
Well, I think the way college basketball is normally balanced now, Earl, that second game is always scary, and it's getting scary every year.
Yeah.
And it's probably scarier this year than any time when you look at the upsets and the parity in college basketball. And I know parity is a word that people get sick of hearing, but when you don't have most programs with 4-year players anymore, it's 2 and out, it's 3 and out, sometimes it's 1 and out. That puts the NCAA tournament into more of a scramble than it's ever been. So the teams probably aren't as good, but the parity and the balance is better than ever, and thus the unpredictability of it is probably better than ever. You know, my wife doesn't ever watch basketball, okay? She's not a sports fan. She'll go to the games to watch people, and she'll go to ball games with me because she likes being in the weather. So she knows nothing about sports, and I swear to you that if you and I and her and throw Jack Ibling in there and maybe our dog all did a bracket sheet, my wife and our dog might beat me, you, and Jack. And that's just because it's such a wild scramble.
It's
more unpredictable than ever. I guess that makes the tournament better than ever. But I think it's a wild, wild chase. And, you know, Tim McCormick told me several years ago that for what everyone says about the NCAA tournament, there's only 4, 5, 6 teams that can really win it. I don't know if that's true anymore. I think maybe one day that was true, but now, you know, there may not be 64 teams that can win it, but there might be 25 or 30 that can win it.
Yes, because you notice when they announced the 64 or 68 teams, there are a lot more mid-majors in it this year. As we know, from years past, it'd just be a few mid-majors, but now they're getting such a stranglehold or getting a bigger share because they're the ones who have the 3- and 4-year players, and those teams are pretty good with 3rd- and 4th-year players in the mid-majors.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. The mid-majors are better. And, you know, Tom Izzo was asked, I think you were there the other day, when he said, will the day come when a 16 seed ever beats a 1? He said, yeah, it's coming. I hope it's not this week. But, yeah, I think that day is probably coming, and it may be coming sooner than we expect. It may come this weekend.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Fred, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And give yourself one more plug tonight before we let you go, buddy.
7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, March to Glory, WLNS TV6. And I'm sure we'll have it online sometime tomorrow if people get to miss it, or maybe roll your DVRs. I appreciate the plug. I hope you get a chance to watch Earl, and I'll see you down the road.
Okie dokie, Fred. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Fred Heumann, sports director over at WLNS TV, Channel 6. The time now, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Romney, Gingrich, and Santorum appear to split the conservative vote in the Deep South. Gas prices help drive down President Obama's poll numbers. The voter ID law in Texas gets the boot, and a new group targets sitting members of Congress in the primaries. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Political junkie Ken Rudin and Neil Conan is back. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. A high of 75 today and sunny. Tonight we could get rain and thunderstorms, some areas of fog with a low of 54, some fog until midday Thursday. partly sunny with a good chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high tomorrow of 72. Friday's high near 70 with a chance of rain and thunderstorms.
And give us a call. Our lines are open. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call or send us an email. Converse with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We're always happy to talk with you, and we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And so give us a call or just send us an email, drop us a line, and tell us what you'd like talked about or what's on your mind. As you know, that's the one thing that I do have to tell you is that, you can go to our Facebook page on WKAR, and then you will see our I've made my field of pick of 64. So go there and you can probably, I just about everybody will probably beat me, but yeah, go ahead, give it a shot. You might beat me here in the field of 64, but it's on Facebook page, on WKAR's Facebook page. That's what they're there. The whole field of 64 of the NC2A tournament. So just something for you to look at and something for you to say, Earl's crazy. We don't agree with you on that. We're going to pick some others. So you've got your chances there. So go pick them and, beat me up if you like, because that's what it's there for. Just beat me in to say, Earl, you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong on all these games. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 355-9527 or toll free, 1-800, and that's toll free. You can call us 877-9527-870, and that's the call us toll free. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, and we're gonna hopefully be talking shortly with Justin Terry of he's at the Lansing Christian, and we'll talk with him about the program there. So we'll have to give Jacob another number to call. So there's another one. You can try that one. You might be able to reach him there at that one. And then if not, we'll have to run back. And I might have wrote – sometimes I write the wrong number down. But we'll look at that. We'll make sure we get a hold of Justin Terry right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we've got a few cuts to tell you about, a few things that we can look at. And we had a chance to talk with Coach Izzo. And Coach Izzo was talking about one of the players who really had a good game in that championship game, and that's Brandon Wood. And here's what Izzo had to say about the play of Brandon Wood, who had 21 points in the last game.
I think he had to look in the mirror and say, I understand this and that, but I'm going to play here. I got to defend better. I got to do some better things. I got to play with more grit. I got to run harder in the lanes. And yet, when you think about a guy trying to make those adjustments in 6-7 months, I mean, he probably, again, deserves more credit than I will give him until the season's over. But I think that was one. And I think the second one was, we kept challenging him. And to his credit, he didn't always like it and didn't always see it. But he kept trying to at least hear us and realize it. And, it was fun to walk away last night as we were walking into the room to watch. And I said to him, when you guard and when you run, and then the other things start coming, and then you get to hang banners, and then you get to do the things you dreamed of doing when you were other places. And I said, it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple road. It's hard to get on it. And it was fun to watch him grow in that respect, because I think he did, and yet he's got more to go do now. But I think as well as his defense picked up, he's starting to run better. And Keith needs somebody to run with him, because Keith can run with anybody in the country. And I still say there were times we just weren't running well enough on the wings. And Brandon did that, and he got open.
And also we talked with Coach Izzo. He's saying the team, one thing the team is doing is playing better, especially better on the offensive end.
I think we've become a better screening team. But I think Nixon Payne, because they're playing better, they give you some spacing by accident, because you can't just double down on them as easy. You can't cheat as easy, because they will kick it out. But I think our break was a big reason. I think we ran better. I think Keith always pushed it, but some people just haven't been running with him. And You know, for some reason against Ohio State, we try to emphasize our bigs running to try to wear down Sullinger a little bit. And they do it, but they're not doing it all the time in other games. So, I don't know. We got to find a Sullinger on this team, I guess. We got to do something because we've got to keep – you got to keep all three lanes running, then give Keith a chance to make some decisions. And he's getting better at making those decisions. And that – I think our break was a big part of why we shot better.
And again, Michigan State has always been a running team. I know a lot of you thought that it was a slow down team. They walk it up the court and all that stuff. As I've tried to explain in the past, you can only run against the teams that will allow you to run, who don't have the kind of defense where they can get back out real quickly and force you to walk it up. So you can't just run. I know a lot of people think you can just get out there and run. No, that's not the way it works. So the team is getting better, and everybody is on the team is running better. They're getting in the lanes. And it takes – and that's the thing. You know, it's so much practice is involved, so much, you know, players have to get used to a certain style. And yes, they can play the slowdown style if they have to. They can play the half court style. They can run with anyone. They can be a very aggressive team and run with a fast pace. So those are just some of the things. But it's great when you have a team that can play a variety of ways. And Michigan State can play a variety of ways. Well, Draymond Green, we talked with him, and he was talking about some of the talent that they have.
We had enough talent to be good if we can put it together. You know, when we lost the first two games, everybody's doubting. And from that point, we just started putting everything together, and guys started coming together more and more. And I think when I really realized it was when we went on the road and beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga. Everybody showed up, and I think I realized then that this team could be very good.
Going forward in the tournament, if you can get the Brandon Wood that you got in the Big Ten tournament, what would that mean to this team and a run deep into the tournament?
That'd be huge, though, the way he played. And you know, I'm pretty positive I'll play better than I did. So if we can have, you know, that inside-outside punch also with our bigs playing the way that they did, you know, I think that can help us out a lot. And, you know, with Brandon Wood playing like that, that carried us at this past weekend, and he can help carry us some more.
And also, Draymond was asked, what team does LIU remind him of? That's the team they're going to play in the first round of the NCAA tournament. What team does that team remind him of?
They're like Iowa, the way they push the ball and with their size. You know, Iowa's huge with Gaines at the two, but you know, with the size of them inside, they were much like Iowa with White and Basabi and McKay with those guys, 6'6", 6'7". That's who they remind me a lot of.
And that's Draymond Green. Now, also, we had a chance to talk with Derek Nix, and Derek Nix says one area the Spartans have to pick up after they were out-rebounded quite badly by Ohio State. He says they will pick up that rebounding.
We got to pick it up on the rebounding, but you know, we've been shooting really good from the field, so that's been closing out. But, you know, one bad night and the rebounding like we have been doing can cost us the game. So, you know, that's one thing we emphasize on practice today. We did the word drill a few times, so our rebounding will go back up.
And then Nix also spoke about LIU, their opponent, in the first round.
Oh, you know, I'm going to have to not relax on defense at all. I'm going to have to stay down and, you know, close out hard on their shooters and, you know, really just lock in the personnel because they don't run a lot of plays. So it's really more of a personnel thing and knowing what the players do.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit of Michigan State. Well, last night I was at a very, very good high school game. It ended up, unfortunately, for Grand Haven was the winner of the game. So congratulations to Grand Haven, who beat East Lansing High in double overtime by 2 points. The score was 42-40. And here is Coach Rob Smith talking about that heartbreaking loss to Grand Haven.
Basketball is a pretty simple game when you break it down. It comes down to free throws and layups. And we, in terms of how the game is played, we have the game if we make our free throws. And we didn't make our free throws. It's not an easy situation, but if you want to be a state champion, you have to make your free throws. And that would have, you know, been huge. A couple layups at the end, you know, that we didn't take care of business. But all in all, I'm really proud of the girls. You know, they battled the number one ranked team in the state, to double overtime. I mean, hats off to both teams. I mean, who in this game is really a loser? They're all winners, you know. They scored two more points, and so they're moving on, and that's just the way it is. So I'm heartbroken for my kids right now.
That's East Lansing coach Rob Smith, who they lost a heartbreaking game to Grand Haven, 42-40 in double overtime. Well, the time now is 1:30 here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to us, and we have for you with us Justin Terry, the head coach and athletic director over at Lansing Christian. And let's bring in Justin. You lost a heartbreaking game too last night, didn't you?
We did, very much so, Earl. We the girls worked extremely hard, right down to the last second, and we are extremely proud of them. Certainly wanted to move on, just like anyone else, but that's why we laced them up in March.
Yes, I mean, a heartbreaking loss for you and also for Rob Smith at East Lansing. Two great programs, and you've been coaching a very good program, but your boys are still in it, though. They're 11 and 12 right now, but yet they're moving on to the quarterfinals right now?
Actually, Earl, tonight at 5:30 in Morenci, the fellas play the regional final. They're a week behind the girls, so they play the regional final, and extremely proud of them. We play in a tougher conference than people give us credit for, I believe, and you know, we kind of peak right about now, and so extremely proud of them and looking forward to the game tonight.
Well, I got to give you a hearty congratulations for named Class D Coach of the Year in the state of Michigan. So congratulations, Justin. You've done a very good job over many years over there. So, you know, you've done a great job there at Lansing Christian.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's just a testament to the kids' commitment over there, Earl. And, you know, we pride ourselves in academic excellence and obviously in athletics. We want to keep it right up there as well. And I think we've done a nice job of competing in this area. And so, yeah, we thank you for that.
Yes, and also, I got to tell you, your son is a very good official. I've had a chance to see him, observe him at many games, and he does a good job in officiating. He might even be a better official than you are.
You know, that's even a compliment, Earl, because if your child goes and carries the banner, then I think I've done my job. But, you know, I'm proud of him as well. You know, I think he does a super job for a young man. I think his maturity level and people's skills speak for themselves. So I appreciate that compliment as well.
Yes, you know, that's one thing. It's so hard. You know, I'm always talking with people about getting in and being an official, but very rarely do you find many people. How did you get him to get started in officiating at such an early age?
Well, I think, you know, since he was 8 years of age, he either worked with me along with the staff for the MHSAA at the Breslin Center. He was a ball boy there. And then when he wasn't working there as a ball person, he would just accompany me to games and sit behind the scorer's table. And I really had no idea that he was, you know, taking an interest in it to the point where he wanted to work. And I think he's been working now for 4 years. And he and I had the pleasure of working a game with him actually when Denzel Valentine was in eighth grade. Chandler and I worked together on a middle school game, and that was his first introduction to officiating basketball, and he just kind of fell in love with it and has taken it off from there.
Hey, from your standpoint, Justin, why is the basketball in the mid-Michigan area? It has really gotten good. Why has that happened? Why do we have such good teams in boys and girls basketball?
I think a couple things, Earl, are happening. Number one, I'm happy to see that it is, because at one point, from an official standpoint, as I was officiating more than I'm coaching, it kind of dipped down a little bit. And I think I'm happy to see it on the upswing and some parity and the talent level. But I think as much as coaches don't want to hear it, these kids are playing basketball in the off season, and they're playing AAU basketball, and the feeder systems are working better in some of the schools where they're setting it up at the lower level. And I think as those kids come up through the system and those coaches get their arms around the program, I think that's what's making these kids more competitive, and it's just a beautiful thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I mean, it's really gotten good here in the Mid-Michigan area. I mean, Lansing Sexton's still in it. They've got a chance to repeat as Class B state champions. Portland St. Patrick's in it. They've still got a chance to win. I mean, the basketball is really getting good, and, you know, I follow it all the time or as close as I can, but, boy, I'm just really amazed at how good the basketball has gotten in the area over the years.
It's exciting to see, and good for the community. You know, we have great relationships with coaches and certainly with fellow officials, and I just think, you know, it's good for the community. A lot of these kids play together during the off season on various AAU clubs, and so there's friendships there, and I think folks need to understand just how deep and how important this sports vehicle is for getting kids to build relationships.
Now, is this a difficult job for you? You're the AD and the coach. Is it hard or difficult to balance both those hats?
Oh, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was extremely busy, Earl, but I also would tell you that at one shape or form, I would be involved. So I enjoy my involvement with the kids. I enjoy the relationships that I have with them. And, you know, I do miss officiating because that was my first love. But, you know, albeit busy, I really enjoy it.
And that's good because, you know, I always say we all should do something that we love to do. And that's great. You found something that you love doing and you can stick to it. And, of course, being in the school district, you know, that's such a plus. I know some schools, they don't have coaches or things that, as you know, that work in the school system. But if you can work in the school system, that's a big benefit for you as a coach, isn't it?
Well, and, you know, I'm working in the school system. Earl, my day job is Michigan State University, but I work in the school system part-time as AD and coach, and I am on campus enough to build those relationships, and I do agree that it certainly is a benefit to be on campus and get to know the young people on and off the floor.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Justin, you've done a good job coaching for years, been officiating. Why did you first get into officiating? What drew you to officiating?
Like, you know, prior to even graduating from high school, Earl, I officiated in a small church league with a buddy of mine. His dad brought us on board just to make a little change, you know, a little gas money. And then I left Lansing and went to the Marines and in the Marine Corps. And then when I came back to Lansing, my cousin, Tracy Keaton, was then running the Kingsley Community Center. And she said, "Hey, cuz, are you interested in, you know, I know you did a little officiating before you left, are you interested in getting back into it?" And that kind of, you know, started me back into it a little bit. And then I started to get around some of the fellow officials. The late, great Tony Payne was one of my mentors. And he said, "Hey, Jay, why don't you, you know, if you're serious about it, there's some camps to go to." And I went to a camp and it just kind of took off from there. And I've been blessed to work with some great officials and work some great games.
Okay. Now, do you work with your team? Do you work with them during the summer? Do you go to a lot of camps? What do you do with your team in the off season?
We do attend summer camps. At least we try to go to two summer camps as a team. And then, of course, we do some work at the school with the kids as much as possible. So, yeah, we do spend time in the summertime as a team going to a couple of camps. We come out here to MSU's camp, and then we've been coming there pretty regular under the direction of Coach Norman Randall. We were coming here, and we love to come out here to state. And then certainly looking at going to Cornerstone University this year as another opportunity for us to go as a team to be, you know, go to camp. So we do that, and we hold our own camp at our school for our kids, which is 3rd through 12th grade. So we do our own thing at LCS too.
Yes. Now, what about your teams I've noticed over the years, and as we talked about earlier today, they get better as the season goes along. How do you work that? Or I know that's what most coaches want to do, but you seem to be able to get your team to really peak at this time of the year.
I think a couple things. We try to talk to them about, I really look at the regular season as a preseason. Because the postseason is really where you kind of want to be peaking so you get to that ultimate goal of possibly making a run in the tournament. And we play in the SMA, and we're the only D school in the SMA. So the rest of those schools are B and C schools, much larger than us. And so combined with that current league that we play in and some of our non-league scheduled games, we think we have a pretty tough schedule. And then as we continue to grow, we let these kids know here's our goal. ultimately, and they buy in. And of course, just like Big Alex Robin out there at Portland St. Pat, you know, you just kind of keep getting better and better and know that you got a goal in mind, and we try to achieve it.
You know, Justin, about 10 years ago, you could when girls basketball, you could see the girls weren't as tall, but it seems like today they're really growing and they're a lot taller, a lot stronger, and just a lot more agility in girls basketball. Do you see how the growth and that's progressed in girls basketball?
Well, you know, interesting. I agree with you. Not only are the girls taller and stronger, but I personally think that the girls that are taller and stronger now, before, back like you said 10 years ago, those girls were simply seen as post players.
Yes.
Now they're looked upon as, they're defined or described as combo guards, or, you know, they play at the 2-3 spot so they can handle the ball. So not only are they bigger, I think, and stronger and somewhat faster, these girls have ball skills that make them that much more of a challenge, and I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and congratulations to you once again for being named the Class D Coach of the Year in the state of Michigan.
Earl, thank you so much for having us on, and looking forward to seeing you over at the Brins.
Okie dokie. We'll
All
see
right.
you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Justin Terry, the head coach and athletic director at Lansing Christian High School. The time, 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
After scores of exotic animals were set loose in Zanesville, Ohio last fall, controversy surrounded the response of the local police. Nearly 50 animals, lions, tigers, bears, were killed. I'm Jennifer Ludden, Jack Hanna, and Esquire Magazine's Chris Jones on The Hunt in Zanesville. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today's high, 75 with sunny skies, then a chance of rain and thunderstorms and areas of fog tonight, the low 54. Some fog until midday Thursday, partly sunny with a good chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high in the low 70s, a chance of more showers and thunderstorms Friday with a high of 70. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And you know, the NC2A tournament is already under the way. We had the play-in games last week, and we might have maybe a few more games similar in style of play to the play-in games. We saw BYU make a big comeback last night in one of the games. We saw both the games in Mississippi Valley State gave up their first game, gave up the lead. So it could be maybe even a more exciting tournament this year. That's for sure, because we've got a lot of teams in that are pretty good, and a lot of teams don't probably get the respect that they want and should have. And there will be a lot of what we say so-called upsets. But are they really upsets? Are they just really one good team beating another good team? Even though you may not know or heard of a lot about that team, you may not heard very much about it. That's why it'll catch you off guard. A lot of people will say, they upset that team. No. Not really. They were just better than that, except you hadn't heard of them. And that's just part of it. But we'll see some surprising and pretty good basketball right now during this time of year as it gets going really. Today you're going to see Lamar going up against Vermont, and also California up against South Florida. That's it at Dayton today. Yesterday you saw Western Kentucky beat Mississippi Valley State and Lamar, and you saw Brigham Young come back to beat Iona. So it's starting to go, that's for sure. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, I want to ask you, what are you looking forward to the most in this NC2A tournament? Are you looking forward? Are you looking for, you know, I know a lot of people around this area is going to be wishing and hoping that Michigan State gets to the Final Four. But why are you looking forward? Do you think that Michigan State will get to the Final Four? Some of you may even think Michigan may get to the Final Four as well. So tell me what you think. How good do you think the teams Michigan, Michigan State will do? Or what about Detroit? Can Detroit really get the upset of Kansas? That's the first round matchup. That should be a good game. I think that's going to be a game probably better than and more exciting than a lot of people will anticipate. Detroit's got very good athletes. That's a very good team. So I expect them to give Kansas a little trouble. So we'll watch that one. But what are you looking for? What are some of the teams that you follow? What are the teams that you like here in the NC2A tournament? 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So you can do that. Let me ask Jacob. Jacob, what are you looking for in the tournament? What teams do you expect to maybe jump up and bite somebody?
Okay, so there's always these certain, everyone who does the tournament always knows there's like these certain, seeds that always beat other seeds. There's always like, what is it, a 13 over a 4 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think all the 2 seeds will win, but I think you're right. I think the Detroit-Kansas game will be good. I also think the Duke-Lehigh game could be good. I think that's also a good one. I think the Georgetown-Belmont game is an intriguing matchup because Belmont's on like a 14 or 16 game winning streak. They're like one of the hottest teams in the country, so I think that could be a good game. I think there's some good games out there. I'm always looking for upsets. That's what I watch the tournament for. I mean, I don't really care about, there are maybe a few teams, the Big Ten teams in the bracket I care about. The other, whatever it is, 60-some-odd, I don't really care. So I just want to see, a good, exciting game. Last night we happened to have 2 really good games and 2 really good comebacks, so those were some fun games.
Yes, well, let me ask you this. If you've looked at my bracket yet, I put my bracket.
I glanced at it.
Okay.
I glanced at it.
Well, you can glance at it, give you a little bit more time. You can look at it and tell me, Earl, you're really nuts.
I actually thought that most of what you had was actually very similar to what I had, except for there was one team that you had going pretty far. Oh, yeah, you had Florida State in the Final Four, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was a little surprising. They're a good team. The only thing I worry about, though, every year there's always this team that will make an unexpected run in their conference tournament and then lay an egg when it comes to the NCAA tournament. So it's either going to be you have Florida State or Vanderbilt because they were the two high, big profile teams that made those runs. We'll see which one lays the egg. Florida State's a good team, so I don't think that's and they're a 3 seed. It's not like that's a crazy pick. It just that stood out. That's going on a limb.
And all four Final Four teams haven't made it in the last few years that we're all for. I mean, that barely happens. Yeah.
I think only once that's happened, so.
Yeah, so I started to do that, but I said, all four teams won't make it, so I gotta find someone who could make it, who's good enough to win it all. And me, I guess Florida State, they're good enough to win it all, but so are some of the other 2 and 3 seeds. So
yeah, this is an interesting bracket in that there's no really, there's no team you look at and say, that team's going to win.
I mean, right.
It's really like, it's wide open, and of course now Syracuse with the announcement that Fab Mello's going to be out, a lot of people are reconsidering how far they had them going, and it's a really wide open race this year. I think that there's a lot of teams that can win it, athletically and physically and how good they are, but there's no team that I look at that bracket and say they are for sure going to win it, let alone for sure be in the Final Four. Even when I was doing my Final Four, I was like, I don't even know if this is right. I don't even know, what that looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. It's always fun. That's what we look at. It's always fun this time of year following all the teams in the NC2A tournament. That's why we like to follow it closely. It's sort of like the bowl picks. We look at all the bowl teams, all the bowl pairings, and then try to pick who will win. And this is after a month of you know, the teams just practicing against each other. It's no way to know what team is going to come out after a month full of practice that's coming out in the bowl games. And a lot of people will think, well, it's going to be close to how they were playing at the end of the season. And most time, it's really not close to how the team plays at the end of the season. And so that always makes fun because, you know, in bowl games, you'll find some teams really want to be in the bowl game. Some teams really want to be there and have that bowl experience. And some teams, they just want to get the season over and go home. And the heck with it. And some teams you have to figure in. But how do you figure which ones really want to be in, really want to be there against those that really don't want to be there? That's always the challenge in bowl games. In the NCAA tournament, most of the teams want to be there. The majority of the teams want to be there. But, boy, if you don't make the NCAA tournament, if you're in this College Sports Insiders tournament or the NIT, a lot of those teams really don't want to be there playing in those tournaments. They'd probably be rather be sitting at home. If they're not in the NCAA tournament, they don't want to be in these small tournaments. And that's the one thing, Jacob, because when you look at the teams from in the NIT and this College Insiders tournament, is that they've got a lot of 20-game winners are in that tournament. When you look at it, a lot of teams don't make the NCAA tournament that have won 20 games. But these other conferences, I mean, it just shows either the basketball is getting diluted more so, or more teams are really scheduling cupcakes. But we have more and more 20-game winners that don't make the NCAA tournament anymore.
Well, I had my conspiracy theory a few years ago that when, you know, because the NIT used to be separated from the NCAA tournament. Now they're owned by the NCAA. So it is in the best interest of the NCAA to have some decent matchups and some decent games in there. Last year, we had a situation where there were a lot of people who said, you know, there were a few teams that should have gotten in that people were like, why aren't they in here? This year, we really didn't have that. The only team anybody said, you know, should have gotten in was Drexel and Iona, kind of going back and forth. Iona, for about 20 minutes, proved they should have been in and then laid an egg in the second half. So, yeah, I mean, you do have the NIT actually does usually provide some pretty good matchups and some pretty good teams. It's just, you know, when you compare it to the NCAA tournament, it is such a letdown. It is, you know, it's hard to get up for the NIT tournament when you've got the NCAA tournament going on, you know, side by side.
Yep. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Dennis on the line. Dennis, how you doing?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
Going to change it up a little bit. I got to talk some boxing with you.
Okay.
Did you see the Celito Lopez fight Saturday?
Yes, I did. Woo! Boy, yeah, that was a fight.
Yeah, it was a great fight. I was kind of surprised that I thought Celito would win again, even though they fought in Lopez's hometown and they fought in Puerto Rico, and he had the partisan crowd behind him. He had all the former champions at ringside and in the ring before the fight, cheering him on. But Celito, man, he just broke him down. That guy looks like a featherweight Marvin Hagler to me.
Yes, and you know, the thing is, which makes me a little leery of him, you know, he used to be just a journeyman, got 11 losses. Now, all of a sudden, he's developed into this power-punching, rock-solid guy. You know, I don't want to say he's taking anything, but I would not rule it out.
You got to drop one of the punch bowl, huh? I think it's confidence, Earl. Yeah. I really do. I think it's confidence. He looks like he's put together a good team to train him and manage him. And he just looks like when he comes in the ring, he's got a game plan and he's got the ability to carry it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a great fight. You could see Lopez gave it everything he had. He just could not stay in there with this guy. So, Errol, I got to let you go. Someone's beating down my door on this other line,
okay.
So I got to hang up. But I'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you later, Dennis. Yeah. Yep, bye-bye. And also, the loser of that fight, he accused the referee of having a gambling problem, and that was why he lost the fight. Well, that wasn't why he lost the fight, because the referee had a gambling problem. But he did allude to that, so I don't know if they're looking into it or if anything will be made of it. But he said that the official, the referee, had a gambling problem. But that's just something we'll have to look at later on. As you know, we have a lot of strange things going on in the world of boxing. It's a sport I've loved for a long, long time. But, some things go on. And it's always – what's amazing about the sport of boxing is It's always something new comes up, whether a fighter loses, how they lose, or something. But boxers, I think for the most part, the one thing that I do like about boxing is that, you know, you really can't, you there's only one person that you can blame when you look in the mirror, and that's you. Because you have to get it done. No matter how you slice it, you've got to get the job done. You can't say, well, if that tackle did his job, or if this receiver had a blocked or did his job, or if the quarterback hadn't screwed up. You've always, in football, you can always blame someone else for your team losing. It's easy to pin the blame on someone else. But a sport like boxing, when you lose, you look around. There's no one that you can pin it on because it's all you. You get all the credit when you win. You get all the credit when you lose. That's the thing I love about boxing. You can't use your coaches as a scapegoat. You can't use the players at another position who plays as a scapegoat. You know, you can't use a scapegoat in that sport. You have to look in the mirror. Now, sometimes what happens in boxing, you know, some fighters will get a bad decision, and that does happen from time to time. They'll get a bad decision. But for the most part, even if you lose a close decision, or even if you win a close decision, in your heart, you know, as a fighter, you know, in your heart, you know whether you won the fight or not. You know, it may not go your way, or sometimes it does go your way. But in your heart, you really know that was a good decision, or that I won that fight, or I didn't know that fight, or I didn't do what everything I needed to do to win that fight. Most time, you know, a fighter knows whether they did enough to win the fight. The time now is 56 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, just a couple of more minutes. Well, Jacob, with baseball season being right around the corner, how much are you going to pay attention to the sport, and how much will you pay attention to the Tigers?
I pay a little more attention. I enjoy baseball, but I just don't follow it as heavily as I follow basketball. But I think every season I usually think, yeah, I'll follow baseball more this year, and then I just other things come up and I just never end up doing. But I think it's going to be it's going to be a good season for the Tigers. It's going to be an intriguing season if nothing else. I mean, regardless of what the win loss is, it's going to be intriguing and interesting. So yeah, I think I'll probably follow a little more. You know, at least once the basketball tournament's over. You know, then my sports schedule clears up. I got a bunch of free time, so, you know.
Now, with it being spring and starting to warm up, maybe I should ask you this. How many sports will you be involved in yourself? What will you do on the outside? Will you get out and maybe play a little baseball or some other sports? What will you do in the spring?
I wish I had time to get out and play some sports. I'm a full-time student. I'm wrangling a few jobs. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that would be the ideal. But I usually, I enjoy going out and playing basketball every once in a while. As a kid, I always used to get out when it was, the 50 some odd degrees to get out there and start shooting around. So, hey, we'll see. We'll see what it's like. It is the weather is infectious, so it makes me want to be outside. So that certainly helps.
Yes. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. But actually, give us a call tomorrow and talk more sports with us. We just got a couple of minutes left on today's show. Remember, you can always call us at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Jot this down. Remember our email address, or if you want, you can always send us an email, sportstalk@wkar.org. Now, how much do you follow hockey? Because as you know, the bids come out for Michigan State hockey this weekend, and the season that they had, they still might get a bid to the NCAA tournament.
That's what I hear. It was two tough losses to Miami of Ohio. That's just a really good team. I follow hockey a little bit. Certainly get the information from, like I've said, my roommate's the one who is obsessed with it, I should say. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to avoid it in my apartment, but certainly not as much as I follow other things. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Certainly still an opportunity to get an NCAA bid after two really rough losses to Miami of Ohio.
And how much do you follow the women's game? We haven't talked much about women's basketball, but how much do you follow the women's game?
Well, I do follow the women's game a little more because I used to do play-by-play for BigTenNetwork.com for the Michigan State women's team, so for 3 years. So I know what's going on there. So, they got an NCAA tournament bid as a 10 seed. So that's all. That's good. That's probably a season not as good as people maybe expected coming in. Obviously, being defending Big Ten champs, but nonetheless, you get to the NCAA tournament. That's good, and they really played well down the stretch, which was in the regular season, which was another positive point. So, we'll see.
And we got two other teams. We got Michigan in the NC2A tournament, and we also got the Eastern Michigan in. Your thoughts quickly on Michigan and Eastern Michigan.
It's great for, you know, obviously that Michigan program as a women's team has been struggling over the years. It's taken a while for Borseth, who's the head coach, to kind of get things back in the swing of things. But it looks like with an NCAA tournament bid, an 11 seed, they might be on the right track. And it's great. You got, you know, these women's programs from Michigan getting in the tournament. It's great to see with Eastern there as well.
Yes. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow here on AM 870. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock. Make sure you come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.